Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
If you're thinking, I should go for a run today, but it looks like it could rain, Sierra says save on epic rain jackets. If you're also thinking, but I can't go out in these beat-up old running shoes, Sierra says save on top brand running shoes. And if you're still thinking, but I'm also busy performing brain surgery, well, then we say, you really should have led with that. Sierra, let's get moving to your local store, like now. Go!
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Yeah. Yo, what do you want? Beak or jaws? Feathers or fur? Sharp teeth or feet with claws? Whatever's preferred. They'll grant you all last requests to steady your nerves. Then podcast the body parts get severed and served. Bring your weak shit where the wolf and owl are. That ain't just a mistake, that's an awful howler. Both of them are known to pull up at your shows. Have the crowd witnessing a murder like they rolled in with a gang of crows. Fuck the censorship, let them see the whole thing. They stay dressed to kill, never sheep's clothing. Dark enough to turn the sun to the moon. You'll see nothing, all you hear's a huff a puff. Expect killings, red spilling and flesh ripping. Impressive in it, the death bringing his head spinning. Just kidding, every word in his song's about two grown men dressed up as a bird and a dog.
Welcome to the Wolf and Our Podcast. Once again, inside the radio.
Hello.
How you doing? Yeah, good. Let's just get this out of the way. We've got two massive issues here on today's episode. No, three massive issues that I want to hit you on. Issue number one.
Yeah.
Your internet connection today is dog shit.
Has it been bad since we've been talking?
Well, you're a bit jittery, I'd say.
Yeah, but I've had a couple of espresso. I've had a massive lunch as well.
No. I'm talking about the connection.
Yeah. Okay. I've got more people.
I can tell the difference between Zoom chopping in and out and you having a coffee.
No, but I've got more people in my house as well than normal.
Oh, right. Are they all like, and what are they doing?
Maybe surfing, bro. Maybe surfing.
Yeah, hitting that world wide web.
Yeah.
Issue number two.
Yeah.
We recorded an episode yesterday.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, God knows what we're going to talk about today.
It's tough.
It's not a lot.
I mean, also because yesterday was like a celebration of that amazing feat. We've had a special all about that, but it was an incredible.
That wasn't a special. What did you say?
No, a special for like an incredible feat that was like, you know.
That wasn't a special that we did yesterday. It was a regularly scheduled bonus episode.
Yeah.
And we talked about your thing. It's not the cycling special, that.
Yeah, no, that's what people on the like Instagram and Twitter are calling it.
They're calling it what?
The cycling special. It's like a feat of strength.
That you rode around. I mean, where's Catherine's feat of strength? Oh, yeah, she was an electric bike.
She was an electric bike. Yeah.
The third issue is there's no bonus episode this week.
Sorry. I'm on holiday. Well, hopefully I'll be on holiday as this goes out. You know, you're going away, right? You're going away in a couple of weeks. It's very nerve-wracking. The anxiety of going through all the paperwork you've got to do and the tests you have to do before you go. Then are you going to be allowed into the country you're going to? Is that country going to be on the list that it's already on the whole time you're away?
Will it change while you're in the air?
Yeah. That's a big worry, isn't it? I mean, flying on a Saturday, hopefully, I don't think.
Land there and then it's cavity searches all round.
Oof, that'd be nice.
I normally request that on landing, actually, as part of the transfer from the airport.
you literally come on the airplane. Yeah. With your trousers and your knickers around your ankles.
Can I have the suspected terrorist experience, please?
Hello again, Roger.
I was at LAX once, coming back, and this guy came up to me and he said, one of the security guys said, we've got a special queue, like it's a faster queue. Let me come follow me, sir. And I followed him, and he put me at the back of a queue that was just exclusively brown men with beards. It couldn't have been more blatant. It was fucking amazing, man.
Did you make that observation, sir?
Well, out loud, like started doing a bit about it. What's the deal with these guys? What's the deal with these supposed fast track queues? Huh? I suppose they're going to ask us to take our shoes off.
One guy
puts a bob in his shoe. Then all of a sudden, we've all got to go barefoot through security. Am I right? What's the deal with that?
Just my fucking luck to be stood next to fucking Jerry Seinfeld. No, I'm actually a comedian back in England.
Oh, wow.
Tapping him on the shoulder. Sorry. Back in England. Oh, no, I'm a comedian, actually, about there. Do you know, as well, we went to get Catherine's vaccine. Not vaccines, or a test yesterday. She had to do a PCR test, right?
Yeah.
So we booked it at this place. I think it's called Vivo or Vito Clinic, right? We turn up at this clinic. I'm not joking. There was a bit of A4.
How did you find this clinic?
We found it online with PCR tests. It was actually like in one of the top search places. And it was literally like, it was like someone's house or a flat. Mm. And at the front, they just put like a bit of A4 paper and written in like luminous green and luminous pink marker, Vito Clinic.
Please tell me you're joking.
I swear I can send you the picture. I'll put a picture up. But yeah. It was honestly, we got there and I was like, this is awful. Catherine went to do the test and said, can I do the test in my own car? There was like 15 people there with no masks on. Even the woman working there had no PPE. I know the rules have changed, blah, 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 but come on. And she was like, everyone's just standing around chatting. And she was like, this is meant to be a place that people potentially would go if they thought they had COVID.
Yeah.
So we changed. And then we had to go to a place called Corby and get our... the tests. Have you ever been to Corby?
Corby? As in Corby near Leicester, Corby?
Yeah, yeah.
You went to Corby?
Yeah, have you ever been to Corby?
Yeah, I did a gig there years ago. And Why the fuck did you go to Corby?
It was the closest place we could get like a 24-hour, or not even a 12-hour test.
How far was that from you?
It was about an hour.
Okay.
What did you make of Corby?
I did not have a good gig. It's my recollection of Corby. But well, I didn't see Corby, though. I turned up at the venue. I delivered 20 minutes of fairly substandard material, and then I left.
Yeah,
It feels like you want to say what you think of Corby, but you're slightly nervous you know that you've got quite a dedicated fan base in Corby.
Let me just... probably that's the trouble of it. I will say, just shout out to the people at the pharmacy. We got the test done. They're amazing. There's a couple of people I spent a little bit of time chatting to. I've never felt like for many a year that I was about to get mugged in broad daylight on one of the sunniest days of the year, as like the feeling of pulling my car up in like a car park. Me and Catherine pulled up and there's these three guys and they looked at me like, oh, we're going to mug you now. And like one of them was genuinely just doing a drug deal as this happened. He was clearly doing a drug deal. And then they were eyeing us up. And then when we came back, they were like literally the next level of what they would be doing is like punching an open fist and like making like slashes with their throat. It was an aggression. There was an air of aggression in the place. Mm. Which is sad because, you know, there's a lovely little Italian place they've got on the corner there, and there's probably a nice vibe. But yeah, these three sort of quite intense looking guys really sort of ruined the vibe for me.
So these three guys. So when you asked me about how I found Corby, was that because you thought I might have come across these three guys that ruined the experience for you?
No. But in general, Corby's got a bit more of a reputation. I didn't know much about Corby, but subsequently, everyone I've said I went to Corby to get the test done. Oh God, you went to Corby. I wanted to go, you know what, I found some very sweet souls in Corby. There was a nice sweetness to it. But sadly, you know, like when, right, okay, you go for a meal, right? What's your favourite meal that you go for?
Probably a curry.
Okay, so, right. So you have a fucking outstanding poppadoms, right?
Yeah.
You then, you know, for your starter, I don't know what you're going to rock for your starter. Maybe you have some samosas.
Can I just stop you a second, all right? Because is all of this what we have for each course essential to this fucking analogy?
No, all right, yeah.
We don't have to go through what the fucking courses are, okay?
Right, okay. Right,
I don't want to sit here 15 minutes out. So obviously, you know, you decided between a pistachio and a mango coffee, sort of whatever your fancy, for whatever fucking example you're trying to give.
Right, yeah, yeah. So that's where I was going to get to, right? So yeah, you have all your courses that you like. You're enjoying it. It's beautiful,
yeah.
Right? You then come to your dessert, right? Okay. And there is, do you know those amazing things that they do? Like they do those chocolate ball things and they're in a coconut ice cream. Have you had those?
Yeah, I hate them.
Oh, I love them. Anyway, you have one because you like them in this instance.
Okay.
Right? And there's a pubic hair in there, right? You don't remember the courses you've had before, the joy, the ice cold Cobra beers. All you remember is that pubic hair.
Sure.
That's what I'm saying about the guys in Corby. That's what I'm, yeah.
They were those three guys are a pubic hair in your chocolate and coconut thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But also, they've not just ruined the dessert, they've ruined the rest of the meal. So to the people,
there's another way you could have told that story. You go, if you're at a restaurant and you find a pubic hair in your dessert, the rest of the meal's ruined.
This is the difference between me and you, right?
Yeah, I respect the fact that we've only got a limited time on this planet.
No. I'm a fucking painter. I'm an artist, right? If I see some A4 and some crayons, I'm going to fucking draw a picture. If you see them, you're going to probably try and make an airplane out of it or something because you don't see beauty sometimes. I wanted people to really get involved in the majestic story I was taking them on, right? You just go, oh, yeah, bloody pubic hairs and butt heads.
Don't do that with your lower jaw. It's horrible. Like a fucking cow chewing.
Right. Right. That's sometimes a difference, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. You're an artist and I'm not. Is that what you're saying?
No. You're not an artist. You've got an artist's instinct because the pubic care thing. I know you got it straight away. So I was taking you down that. You knew where I was going with it.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, yeah.
So that's almost willful, isn't it, then? So you know where I'm going with it, but you still decide to take
pages of it. Here's another one for you if you weren't getting
Great. Yeah, no. That's what do you know what I thought? This has been so long, I'd love a second one to hammer home the point I've already got. Yeah, go on.
No, but when we remember the Euros now. We'll remember losing their last game and all the shit that followed it. We won't remember the joy that's coming up from it. And that's what those three guys are. And actually,
but there you go. You did do that. You did that. Do that quite quickly. Yeah, actually, normally, you know. So, you know, think back to the first game. You know, scrappy. Yeah. Second game, you know, we went to the second game. I don't know if you remember, as we were walking up Wembley Way, there was a bloke there that we were unsure, like all of that shit. You avoided doing all that, so well done.
Actually, while you've done that, it is exactly what Corby was like. At first, yeah, it was a bit scrappy. Then it was, I was like, oh, this isn't really for me. And then actually, I was like, actually, no, you know what? There's some pretty decent people living here. And they're like, oh, shit, yeah.
Why are you so scared of saying what you really think about Corby?
No, I'm saying what I think about three residents of Corby. I didn't get their names. It's look, for me, look, if you open a makeup box, there's going to be all sorts of things. It's just that some things will make you look more pretty than others.
Holy shit. You know, sometimes I think, I wonder how quickly before he says something, he thinks about it. I think you might have only started thinking about that after you'd finished fucking saying it.
You know, it's usually what happens. My brain runs quicker than my mind. I mean, what I'm saying is, beware of towns you haven't been to for some of the people who live in them. That would be my advice on that one.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a place like that?
There are a lot of towns that I've been to on tour that I've been slightly nervous the whole time I've been there, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Which would be the one that sticks out in your mind the most?
Do you know what? It's a very nice town, this town, but I'm just going to call this is, I might get some shit for this. I don't ever want to do a gig in Tunbridge Wells ever again in my life.
Wow. Tunbridge Wells is like it's a very arty sort of place, no?
It is very arty. It's got, it's nice. It's a nice place. I've also heard there's like a little vegan spot there. They've got a burger named after me. That's not the reason I'm bringing up this story. But every single time I've gigged in Tunbridge Wells, I have had a terrible gig. Dreadful. Every single time. And sometimes you can blame me. I'll give you an example of my time gigging in Tunbridge Wells. Early on, this is when I first realised what Tunbridge Wells might be like for me. I did a Christmas gig. Right. I was on in the middle.
Just quickly for our listeners, Christmas gigs are very tough gigs.
Yes, they are very tough gigs. I was on in the middle. So again, for our listeners, the middle spot on a, you know, when you go to a comedy club, there's a compare three acts. Normally the most inexperienced does the middle. And then after, you know, when you move beyond doing middles, you start opening and then eventually you move to headline. And that's how, that's kind of how the hierarchy, the hierarchy of the comedy circuit works. So I was middling then. So you, I was new. So Christmas gig new. You've got to give that, you've got to give Tunbridge Wells a little bit of leeway there. Anyway, I come out to do my middle spot and I perform to complete and utter silence, right? Complete and utter silence. I just sat there with like their paper crowns on because I've had dinner, right? And just watch me. In the same way that you, you know, you might watch a passing water buffalo.
Or like a sad whale at a water park.
Yeah, so anyway. Okay, so I don't even know where to begin with what you just said. So anyway, Jeff Innocent, you know Jeff Innocent?
Yeah. Comparing?
No, he was closing. Right? Wow. He comes in during my set, and Jeff Innocent's a great comic, and this story about to tell makes it look bad on him, but it's not bad. It was a funny thing to say in the moment. He comes in, walks backstage, sort of sees me as I'm on stage, and then I finish my gig, and I walk into the green room afterwards, and is an interval before he comes up, and he goes to me, can you hear that, Ramesh? I go, what's that? And he goes, they're making more noise during the interval than they were during your fucking set.
Oh, Jesus.
And he was absolutely right. So anyway, that was the first time I played Tunbridge Wells. I've never had a gig better than that in the 10 times I've been back there.
How come you keep going back?
The people, because like, you know, when you're starting out, you can't say no to gigs. You've got to make some money, haven't you? And then I had a couple of tour previews there. And like my Lisa's sister and her husband came to watch me in Tunbridge Wells once because that was like the nearest gig I was doing. And they came to watch me and they were messaging me. They didn't see me before the gig. Just texted me going, really buzzing to see you, really buzzing to see you. Can't wait. I haven't seen you in ages. And then I did the gig. And then after, so it was like really loads of messages. Like, oh my God, we just walked in, really excited, blah, blah. Oh, I did the gig. And then afterwards, I just got a text message going, that was a tough crowd.
Oh, stink city. Yeah, the weirdest thing of all that. I didn't even know Lisa had a sister.
Yeah, that is the weirdest thing of all that. Thank you for that being the takeaway from that story.
I always thought Lisa would probably have a brother and like quite a few cousins. Why?
Why? No. Why quite a few cousins?
No.
What does that mean?
No. I just thought like she's
have you managed to make that sound insulting?
No, but I have quite a few cousins and a sister. Right. But I thought it would be that Lisa.
I sometimes feel like you feel like you're more of a kindred spirit with Lisa than with me.
No, I don't. I just like sometimes think like, you know, when you think it, like when I look at someone, I go, oh yeah. I like to think about what their family tree's like or what their family like their kins are like. Yeah.
So what vibe do I give across in terms of?
Well, definitely, I always knew you probably had a brother.
Why?
Just your vibe, just the way that you sort of lay down, that you sort of had a brother that you sort of squabbled with, but you're always there for, you know, that you sort of never ever like thought, oh, he wouldn't be there in my deepest times. So yeah, I always knew that you had kin around you that were there as support.
Do you know what, can I tell you what you sound like now? You sound like a really shit fortune teller. You're being so fucking vague.
You know what
I feel like I'm getting from you? I'm getting from somebody who's like kind and tries to do the best by the people, is not always given the credit they deserve for the nice things they do for people, is nice at heart, you know, never wants to do any wrong for anyone. All that shit. All that shit that people go, yeah, I feel like she really got me, actually. You know, like, it really was, that is how I am.
My stepdad, went years and years ago, they went to see Derek Okora, God rest his soul. And basically, it was at Fairfield Halls in Croydon. And so he was doing all his spiel and all that. And he was like, oh, do we have an LC here? Do we have an LC? Which feels like a pretty fucking easy question to sort of ask if anyone in there called LC. And he's like, you know, have you lost anyone recently? And my nan, stepdad was like, yeah. Da, da, da. He said, there's a few people you've lost in your life. Elsie, you know, you're going to be visited by a number of spirits this evening. Open your heart, you know, open your mind, and you're going to be visited from some faces from the past. And Elsie said, how many fucking spirits? I've only got a small flat. It's up on stages. My mum said, the look of worry. Like, oh, fucking hell. Like, I've only got a one-bedroom flat. Yeah, a little council house. Council flat. How many people? Like spirits were going to be packed in. She'd be walking around with a tray of drinks. Some bourbon biscuits. Yeah, no. Just now, mate, come have a seat in the bedroom.
Hola.
Hello. This call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow. Ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow. Now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Do you believe in God?
I think there's a higher. You know what? Actually, one thing I really respect is people who do have
going super deep on this. Sorry.
Yeah. No. You know. So there's an actor called K.O.D. Right? Who's an incredible guy. He's a brilliant actor, incredible writer. There's a meme of him that's like probably the most known. Thing. But anyway, I've done a couple of jobs with Cody. He's a really deep kid. And we spent like 6 weeks in Bulgaria together. Mm. And when we were out there, he's deeply religious. And what I found really, because I probably wrote off religion and I wasn't too, and it's easy to do that. It's easy to sort of like be, I don't believe God. Da, da, da. Yeah. But actually, what I found more encouraging and what I really loved about is that he believed that there was something bigger than anything else that he could just give his faith to and give his time to.
Yeah, right? Like an unshakable faith is quite enviable, isn't it?
Yeah. I just think, I mean, for you have Arsenal, I have West Ham. Probably it seems ridiculous for people who don't support football teams that me and you have put so much fucking happiness or fucking despair into something we have no control over.
Yeah.
So for us to then go, because he found nothing but like good and like, yeah, man, like you're at Bulgaria. The sort of the racism out there is fucking abhorrent. I don't know if you know, I wouldn't suggest anyone, you guys, it's horrible. It was fucking like genuinely like some of the worst sort of things I've ever seen as a human being. Yeah. Like,
but you got to film it under budget, so
yeah. Yeah. But he, for all that, he just had this sort of faith in sort of, and I found that actually pretty pretty credible. So I like to go to mass. I come from a Catholic background, but I don't, you know, I'd be lying if I said that I'm like deeply religious, but I do like to think of just a, I just like to think, you know, what harm does it do to think that when this is all over and our time on this mortal call is done, that there is something better to go to? Like, I know.
Have you heard of Pascal's Wager?
No, what's that?
So Pascal's Wager is the idea that the rewards for being correct about there being a God are so much bigger than the rewards for believing there isn't a God. You know, so like, it's so much higher that actually the logical thing to do is to be religious. You know, like because the payoffs are so huge. If you don't believe in a God and then you die, you just disappear. You know, you don't even get to go, I told you so. Yeah. But if you go the other way, it's just, you know what I mean? It's like the gamble's better that way. It's kind of, I think I'm
also like, the way, but the joy of it, when you like, you know, see the religious people and, you know, you watch stuff where like, you know, people have had abhorrent, horrible things happen to their family, but somehow find forgiveness within their hearts because of religion or whatever. I fucking massively respect that. I think I like to think there's, and ghost-wise, yeah, mate, do you know what? I don't know if we've ever really talked about it on this fucking podcast, but me and you have been in the company of ghosts. Where we stayed, when we were in Gary.
Oh, God, fucking hell. There were no ghosts there, okay?
What? Are you dizzy?
Are you dizzy?
Mate, I know for a fact there was ghosts in that place.
Do you know the most remarkable thing about that hotel stay was? What? That you and I had a similar sized room. That was the most supernatural thing about
Listen. All right. Let me get deep. Right. Okay, so listeners out there, if we've got any ghost expert or ghosties, as we like to call them, shout out, yeah? Get in touch. Right. I go to this, we get in this hotel. It's an awful shithole anyway, right? It's not a nice hotel. Right?
Who was in charge of, which production company was it?
My production company. Okay. Right, so we go to stay in this place. So I'm there the night before Ramesh. Ramesh comes there the second night I'm there. I get there and I walk into this room, right? There's a vibe there I'm not too sure about. I'm like, da da da. Anyway, it was quite cold. We're shooting a Christmas special of Gary, weren't we? So I put on the radiators in the room and I basically get into bed. It was a bit chilly, but the radiators were warming the room up. I wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, right? And it is icy cold, icy cold, like you wouldn't believe, right? And so I get out of bed and I go and check the radiators. The radiators were on to full max, but they were cold, freezing cold. Like something, a bigger power had just like fucking taken them down and like fucking notch or two. I get back into bed and think that's strange, but it could just be like something to do with the fucking heating in this place. So I put on a tracksuit, Adidas tracksuit, fucking very nice, like fucking design. Very
I know cheap. You're doing this deliberately to wind me up.
Right. So put on some socks, Adidas. And I put on a beanie, Adidas. I get into bed, I cover myself, right? And then there's like this faint, like knocking right at the window outside. I'm like, that's probably a branch or a tree, right? Outside. So I go outside, like I go to the, like basically it was this tiny, you had one, like a little scurry hole in the room, right?
Yeah, horrible, horrible.
Yeah. So you go down, the curtains are drawn. I open the curtains to see, to think, oh, there's going to be a branch up against the window. There was no branch. There was nothing near it. Nothing at all, right? The window's like closed and I'm like, there's nothing there. So then I then get into bed. I start sort of closing my eyes, start drifting off to sleep. And then it felt like something was sitting on my chest. Like somebody was sitting there, and now I'm in Freak City. I'm absolutely fucking. I sit up, and I just basically put on my iPad, turn all the lights on in the fucking room, right?
Mm.
Right, and I'm like, I'm not fucking about this. And I start begging to say, please just leave me alone. I mean, you know, harm and all this stuff, right? I'm in the room saying that, right?
Tom, can I just stop you? Is everything you're saying true?
Yes. Everything saying I'm saying, I told you this the next day. I remember.
No, but I thought that was comedic embellishment. So
no.
You actually sat up and you went, please, please, please. I mean, you no harm.
Yes, I was terrified. Right, I was terrified, and I thought, look, if the ghost is fucking, the ghost has died, so it knows what fear is. Right, hopefully it's got some of its fucking empathy knocking about. Anyway, I fall asleep. I wake up. All the lights. are now off in the room. I wake up, right? And a towel from my bathroom is now folded across a lamp, like just put across the lamp. I didn't do anything with the towel. I didn't put it there. It was just there. I'm like, fucking hell, this is not for real, right? So I fucking get changed.
Out of the tracksuit?
Yeah, out of the Adidas tracksuit. I fold it up neatly on the bed. I then go down to reception and say, has anyone ever...
You take off your tracksuit to go down to reception?
No, I took off my tracksuit, had a shower, and put on... walked down in my pants. I want to complain about some hornets. Yeah, we've had a couple of complaints about you walking around the fucking corridors.
It's a big white ghoul haunting the corridors.
Get Homer Simpson walking around the fucking place. So I say to the guy down there, I say, look, has anyone ever talked about this place being haunted before? And this guy looks me steely in the eye and he says, well, of course, it used to be a church. And I'm like, My blood sugar just shot out my ass, right?
Your blood sugar shot out your ass.
You know that faint feeling you have?
Right? Sure. Right? So just say I felt faint. It's so confusing. has he had a diabetic turn? What's going on?
Right. So I stare at him as intently as I've ever stared at any other man in my life. Mm. And I said, listen to me. Are you sure? And he went, yeah, it used to be a church.
Are you sure? No, actually. No, it wasn't. No, you're right. Thank you for that extra level of questioning. You know what? Up until I interrogated it there and you pushed me on it, I had always thought this used to be a church. But now you've asked me to double check. No, you're absolutely right. It didn't used to be a church.
No, but then he went...
Even though the window on your room... is still from the original church. And you've seen it for yourself. And the fact that this is new information to you is fucking incredible. Right?
But then he stares at me, right?
Right.
And
so he stares back at you.
Yeah, he stares back at me. We're staring at each other.
This must be like watching one of those clips of Friends where they've taken all the laughter out. Just right. Loads of weird pauses every time one of you speaks.
And then he says, do you want to know the kicker? And I said, yeah, what is it? And he said, it was also a Bernardo's children's home.
How is that the kicker?
Because that's... Well, you know what a kicker is. It's like, do you want to know the fucking...
No, I know what a kicker is. What I'm asking is, why is the fact it was a Bernardo's children's home a kicker?
Because that's like the fucking big goal, right? That's the extra layer on top. So it's a church and it was a children's home. So is it haunted? Yes, mate. It's got two reasons to be haunted. Because it was a church and a children's home. I just turned around to him and I just said, mate, I'm fucking terrified. And he said,
it's weird that, you know, because it looks like a church. He told you it used to be a church. He said, are you sure? And he said, you know the kicker? And you went, what is it? He said, it used to be a Bernardo's children home. You didn't need any verification of that. Huh? That you just swallowed straight away.
No, but by then I could see he was morbidly fucking intensely fucking serious. He was... At that point, I could see him and himself. Like, I said, do you stay here? And he went, never. I never stay here. Like, ever.
Who the fuck was this guy?
He was a receptionist.
Receptionist says to a customer, I would never stay here.
Yeah, no, because of the ghost. I mean, fucking hell. The moment I arrived, there was a prostitute. There was a person checking in before me. So I think he knew that it wasn't the Ritz or whatever. But I think because of the fear of, like... And then he started showing me pictures of, like, back in the olden days, like, when it was, like, a church and stuff. He had, like, a little picture book of, like, its history.
Okay. Is this all made up?
Yeah, so no, this is true.
The guy sat there.
No, he stood. He was standing.
Oh, he stood. Okay, fine. All right, I'll buy it then. All right, fine.
No, he has, like, a book of the history of the place. He's like, oh, look, right. This is how it used to be. I think it was like the Prince Regent or something, wasn't it? And then you came, right? So you come the second, right? Are you telling me you thought it was a lovely hotel?
No, there's no denying that hotel was absolute shit. And if it wasn't being provided to me by a production company that was run by a friend of mine, I would have been straight on the fucking phone to my agent. But as it is, first of all, just to give a bit of context to all this, I'd spent the whole day with my ability to do the job, severely impaired by listening to you fucking whinging on about the room the entirety of the day.
Yeah, but you thought I was exaggerating.
All the way up to James saying action, you're like, honestly, I fucking hell. I can barely focus on him when he's doing his life. So
quiet. Yeah, but you thought I was exaggerating, no?
No, I was. Yeah, I did. Okay, I did think you were exaggerating because such is your right. way.
And then when we arrived there, I remember seeing...
You can forgive me, by the way, for thinking you're exaggerating, because you spent the entire day describing the hotel as one of the worst experiences of your life. Yet I didn't see anybody anywhere talking about booking alternative accommodation. That's kind of why I suspected you might be exaggerating.
Right.
But also, the director, James, was staying there as well. And yeah, and also said to me, Tom is laying it on a bit thick. So...
Right. When you arrived, though... I remember the fear that went across your face. Like, you well and truly had the willies yourself.
No, I wasn't scared of it being haunted. I just wasn't looking forward to spending the night there.
Yeah.
We turned up there. There was a bloke that looked like he was about to rip your coat off you.
Yeah, yeah. Nice Stone Island jacket he was fucking designed.
Yeah. And then we walk up through sort of what is a relatively modern section of the hotel and then open this door. And it's like you guys had gone... Oh, have you got some sort of rooms that are relatively modern and nice and clean and stuff? Yeah, we'd like to stay well as far away from those as possible. What we'd like is we'd like to somehow combine the longest walking journey through the hotel and also the most dog shit rooms you've got. Because we've got an early start tomorrow and we really want to feel absolutely dreadful when we crack on with filming.
No, but the worst thing of all was because it's been used as a halfway house, isn't it, as well?
Was it?
Yeah, for people who just got out of prison.
No, okay.
Yeah.
There's a party going on, wasn't there?
Yeah, big party. Yeah. It was, it was pretty full on. Actually, to be fair, the party was going on. The ghost didn't come back the second night.
No, because there were no ghosts the first night.
Honestly, look, I'd love it if there's some sort of ghost type spiritualist person who can come on or send us some emails about ghost stuff. You know, send us your ghost stories. Yeah.
How will that help with your story about you putting a towel on a lamp and then later forgetting that you'd done that?
It was, mate, I've never in 42 years ever put a towel on a lamp.
Okay, fine.
It'd been insane.
How many times has a ghost done it?
Mate, different ghosts do different stuff. That's what you don't understand about ghosts.
How about you tell me what you do understand about ghosts then? So different ghosts do different stuff. Talk me through it.
Ghosts are stuck in immortality, right? They're stuck in a light world where they will do the same things over and over again because they want to be seen or they want to be heard, right? Mm. So what they will do is ghosts will go, oh, look, what's the thing that I can do? That this person will know they've not done, so I will show my existence. And that's what ghosts do.
Why doesn't it put a shoe on the top of the light? I mean, why put a towel on a lamp? If I was a ghost and I saw somebody sort of praying in an Adidas tracksuit on a bed, and I wanted to confirm to them that it was a ghost in the room, I'd probably stick their hat up their arse or something like that, or like, you know, move. So you'd make it.
Yeah,
but
you'd probably be more of an aggressive ghost, is what you'd be.
Here we
like,
go. Okay.
No, you would. Now, you'd be like, oh, right.
I mean, I've heard of ways to criticize people before, but to sort of suggest that they would be an aggy ghost.
No, but I think this ghost was probably actually, you know, It didn't mean much harm. You'd probably be quite aggressive. Like, look at me, I'm here. Do you know what I mean? Like, this ghost, I think, was a bit more playful than that. And I, credit to him. Like, fucking...
Credit to him. Okay. Go on. Well, credit to him for what?
For scaring me. But I don't think that's what their intention was.
What do you think their intention was?
I think probably to have a bit of fun, really. I think they're pretty bored. I think being a ghost, if there's one thing I know about being a ghost, it's fucking boring, man.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it must be if what you find entertaining is putting a towel on a lamp.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to think, right? If you're a ghost, there's probably, I think there's 0.3% chance you'll ever see another ghost. You don't all meet up.
How do you know this? Where are you getting your information?
Because there's not multiple ghosts. You've never heard of, like, a place that's haunted by, like, the fucking, like, the Wild Woman of the West, and Pete the fucking Strangler. Do you know what I mean? There's no, like... It's always one ghost. It's not like, we've got three or four ghosts who live here. It's not like fucking Casper, mate, in the real world.
No, it's not like Casper. There's not even a single ghost. What I'm saying to you is ghosts don't exist.
I'd like to go to a haunted house and then you can stay there for the night and see.
What will you do?
I'll fucking watch, mate.
From where?
I don't know, like a CCTV or something.
Oh, brilliant. Okay. I knew you wouldn't come in the house.
I'll come in there. If anyone knows of a haunted house where they're
Send... okay. This is genuine now, right? Send us details of a haunted house. Tom and I will go and stay there the night.
Yeah. Hit us up. But also, right. By the way, some people have more fucking... Their bodies and their fucking minds and their fucking auras are more open to ghosts than others. So you need
So I see. So you managed to engineer a way so that if we don't see any ghosts, it's actually my fault.
No, you need to
imagine this. We're going to spend the night at this house for no reason, sleep on the floor, right? Then we wake up the next day and go, oh, fucking well done.
Well done, you've got to go there with it.
I hope you're happy with yourself. Right. Because you were closed off. We didn't see any ghosts. Well done.
Look, mate, you need to go there with an open mind, okay? That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Fine. All right.
If you went on a road trip and you didn't stop for a Big Mac or drop a crispy fry between the car seats or use your McDonald's bag as a placemat, then that wasn't a road trip. It was just a really long drive. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Would you like to do some emails?
Yo, hit me up. 11 email.
Okay, bear with me one second. Thanks once again to the Swan for selecting these emails. Okay. Hello, Tom and Ramesh. First of all, living in Woodford, cannot wait for King Gary. My mother-in-law hates the fact I call her precious mother's meeting venue club the Dave and not the Lloyd. Brilliant, you're both legends. So a little conundrum, I believe, as an outsider is pure entertainment, but your thoughts would be appreciated. Lockdown has meant, as you know, a lot of rescheduling of big events, including weddings. To cut a long story short, a friend moved their wedding to a month after another's planned this summer. They're good mates, but after discussing if it was okay, one's in late July, the other late August, the prior event decided they now felt like a warm-up act, and due to this, asked for the wedding in August to be moved back by 3 months, to the winter. This is all after prior agreement that the wedding in August was acceptable in August 2021. Personally, I wouldn't ask anybody's agreement to hold my wedding day at a certain time. The two brides are now not speaking. Holy shit. I'm in team reschedule. COVID has an impact on their wedding. They found a suitable date. Why should they care whose wedding is before or after theirs? I'd understand the day after may cause a little upset, but a month, it's all a bit scrambled, beg on toast. Anyway, sitting on the side...
I actually quite like that saying, by the way.
Anyway, sitting on the sidelines is a brilliant drama. It'd be good to hear your thoughts. Tom, if you play golf at Chigwell, West Essex, Abridge, hit me up. Would love a round with you. Okay, so this guy'd like to remain anonymous. So what do you think?
Well, personally, I think, look, weddings are a tough, tough thing, right? It's a tough, because everyone wants to be center of attention. You know, everyone wants that their wedding to be this grand, sort of the event of the summer. I think it's very difficult when you've got two going head to head, and no matter what happens with weddings, right, if it's in the same year or within I think probably an 18 month window, you are going to have comparisons made. So I think you could have the best wedding planned in August, you turn up to July 1, maybe they've got a Prosecco bar, maybe they've got like a gin caravan or whatever, right? And all of a sudden you're like, oh shit, we need to fucking up the game here. We need to, that is just human nature. Whatever you do is going to be, you're going to want a better, the one that they've just seen. So you have that. So yeah, I kind of get it. I think they've had to obviously move it. I think that's a bit of a kick in the teeth. And I sort of feel for the people, but then I also feel for the people who've had to move theirs from the prior year because they couldn't do anything about COVID. So I think what we have here is a, what it should have done, it's just had a big old joint wedding.
Absolutely not.
What?
Absolutely not. It's an insane idea.
You know what they should, what would have been cool? Remember when you used to go to like nightclubs back in the day? Blue Orchid, Vaults, whatever. You used to have different rooms with different, you know, you'd have a fucking pop room. Yeah, different music rooms.
Did you go on a night when they had a pop room, did you? Is that when you went to?
They used to do like 70s or 80s. It was like a 70s, 80s pop room, right?
Yeah. I used to go Clapham Grand quite a bit.
Did you?
Hmm.
Oh, man, it's surprising.
Dr. Glitz. Is it Dr. Glitz?
I can't remember now. Oh, I went there a couple of times. It was always quite rough. Sinatra's, Caesars, all that vibe. Anyway, what I'm saying to you is you could have done like one in the morning, like, but the best place because you're putting together two wedding funds, right? Yeah, one in the morning that's got a bit of edge, it's got a bit of bite, it's got that morning feeling to it, and then like quite a chilled vibe for the afternoon. So everyone's like, oh my God, like this is amazing. Oh my God, there's another wedding. And then you get like, you know, did I ever tell the story the time I went to, I did tell it when I went to the wrong wedding that time.
Yeah, you did tell. Yeah, you did say.
It's one of the best days of my life. Go to two.
Yeah, okay, but I don't think. Yeah, fine, but that doesn't mean these people should merge their weddings.
Yeah, but I think if I knew them, I'd say to them, "Have a think about this."
Okay, they shouldn't merge their weddings. Okay, and actually, this is a lot easier than you made it. These other people, they've got no fucking right to tell somebody to move their wedding. Okay, you've agreed for it to be a month apart. Grow up. All
Wowzers.
Right? I mean, it's a month apart, mate. Come on. Do you know what I mean? Like, and they're supposed to move their wedding 3 months because you don't want to feel like an opening act. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's mental.
Imagine being the fucking middle act. Imagine someone else moved theirs into the middle of it all.
Sure. That would be bad. You're right.
Have you ever been to a
Imagine if there's another one.
Yeah.
There's like third. 2 minutes. Yeah.
Have you ever been to a joint wedding?
No.
Exactly.
Well, hold on. What's the point you're trying to make?
I'm just saying, I reckon hardly anyone in the world has been to a joint wedding.
Yeah, do you know why? Because it's a shit idea. It's like going, have you ever had a foot-long baguette filled with dog shit? No. There you go then.
Right. Some of my favourite
nobody's ever tried it.
Some of my favourite birthday parties as a kid were joint birthday parties. They were great, man. You had a joint birthday party, you did five-side football, you did a big ball pool. Fucking brilliant, man. Yeah, they were good times. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all about being open-minded and being there for other people.
Yeah. One of my favourite things that I used to do, alongside one of my favourite things at birthday parties, was like bouncy castle.
Yeah.
That was always like my favourite thing to do. But I always was slightly nervous about being on there when there were too many kids on there. So I never used to go early doors. And then I'd wait till everyone else was sort of bored of the bouncy castle. And then I would just sort of...
What, on your own?
Just clamber on there like a fucking Billy No Mates and just bounce up and down on my own. That's Is that sad?
No, I think it's quite...
Let me tell you something. My parents did nothing about that, right? If I saw one of my kids doing that, if that was a thing that I'd observed at more than one birthday party, I would be having a chat to them about it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but look, you turned out all right.
Did I? This podcast that we decided is going to be unplanned, we receive more emails about how openly we talk about mental health issues than anything else.
Yeah, I know, but...
Like, yeah, so what I'm saying to you is, I think there have been some after effects.
Yeah, but look, I think the vision of a little sad little Ramesh on his own, having the time of his life, I bet they're some of your happiest memories as a kid. Just like literally flying up into the air, smiling, laughing in your sock feet. You know, as all your pressures and all the fucking worries in the world just sort of like...
Yeah, you describe it like that, great. But if I met you in, like, we're just having a chat, getting to know each other chat, or imagine I was on a date and somebody said, what would you say your favourite memories of your childhood? And I said, oh, like at a birthday party, I would wait till there's nobody else on the bouncy castle and then I'd go on there and I'd bounce up and down on my own. Just enjoying it alone. That's probably my favourite memory. And then they would say, thanks a lot for coming to meet me. I'm going to head off. I think that if I spend the rest of the evening with you, I'm going to wind up dead in your boot.
No, I think kids' birthday parties, a lot of learning, a lot of sort of like, a lot of deepness is done there.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
I remember sort of like being terrified of them at sometimes, but then just like, I remember ball pools, I was scared of those. Did you ever go to Water Palace in Purley?
Yeah, I did.
No, you said wait for the waves.
Did you not do that? Yeah, I did. It's sad. It's pathetic, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to be so into the wave machine. You just used to like sort of just like wait till that buzzer went off and then just swim to the deep end as quick as you can. Walking around the pool in a Veruca sock. Fucking faded old pair of fucking shitty old trunks. Yeah, those were the days.
Right, should we do another email? This is from Chris. Hi, guys. A lot of people start their emails with saying hello to Swan, Owl and Wolf, but have you noticed that the first letters also make an animal?
Sow? What's a sow? Yeah. It's a female pig.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah.
How worried are you about how long it took you to get sow?
I was genuinely actually thinking at the time about what I'm having for tea as well. So
it honestly looked like you had a look on your face like you're trying to translate something from Japanese.
Like a Labrador trying to work out a card trick.
That's not the point of this email. I've recently found out something about my better half, which frankly shocked and disturbed me. We've been together for 5 happy years after meeting on Tinder. Not that matters, but kind of wanted listeners out there who are on the apps to know that you can find love. And have bought a house together. We've been honest with each other throughout, but it turned out she had a secret she'd somehow kept from me until now. And I need your help. Okay. I thought this is either going to be something. Anyway, I'll just let you deal with it. And I need your advice on how to deal with it. She cuts her burger in half before eating it. This blew my mind. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's handheld food. It made it even worse the other day. I went for a pub lunch with my dad and I noticed he did the same. And then he ate it with a knife and fork. Has the world gone mad? What's next? Chris with a spoon? So do you think that there are foods that should be eaten by hand and only by hand? And if so, which ones? For me, pizza, burgers and chips should never see cutlery. We both listen to the pod separately, so I wonder if she'll realise if it's about her, if it's read out. Also, at the end of the pod, I always think Rom is about to burst into a bit of Ice Baby when he says, if you've got a problem. Yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook one where DJ revolves it. Ice Baby.
Wow.
Thank you.
Sexy the way you did that.
Thanks. What do you think about this, Tom?
The shoulders move nice, boy. I'm with our anonymous friend here slightly. I will say, brother, I used to be very much like you. I if I could, I would eat all of my food with just my hands. Like I love eating. I love the feeling of just being able to put something in your mouth. Without...
I'd love to see you eating a full roast dinner with your hands.
I'd wait for it to cool down. But no, I always grab a little bit of chicken and I'll roast potato. It's just the veg really that you can't, you know, like the Yorkshire pudding, mop it round with gravy with my hand. You know, I think cutlery's there as a fallback.
In case your hands are injured?
No, if the food's too hot.
Oh,
or,
right, okay.
Yeah, or you're in society, you're out in society, like at a lunch where sort of there's people who, you know, are sort of that little bit more sort of classy or whatever and that kind of thing. I mean, like, I realised...
So if you were in a restaurant and you were on your own?
Yeah.
And there's nobody else in the restaurant, you'd eat with your hands?
Depends what I'm having. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm having pasta, I wouldn't.
No. Okay.
And also, what I always insist upon, and I've had to do less and less of, because I realise it's frowned upon in modern society, I used to always insist upon a piece of bread, like to finish every meal.
To finish every meal?
So, yeah, to mop round the plate.
Oh, yeah. That's quite sweet, actually. I like that.
I mean, actually, that's another reason I love curry. Because, you know, you have a naan. It's fucking the best thing. You go for some meals and you ask for bread. It's like, oh, God, what? Oh, no, we haven't got any bread. Like, you know. Anyway, I digress. But, my friend, I recently have started cutting my burger in half.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Oh, shit.
And I've done it with hot dogs, pizza. I mean, you use pizza as a... Obviously, I still eat it with my hands. I think you're insane if you use a knife and fork to cut up bits of a burger.
But some pizzas require cutlery, don't they?
That's what I mean. Pizza, you're not going to pick up a whole pizza and stuff it into your mouth. You're going to need a pizza wheel, or you're going to need a knife and fork, right?
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes that I don't want to show off, but I'm a king of burgers. I can eat the biggest burgers you've ever seen, right? Sometimes that does involve a little bit of help from our old friends and I, knife and fork. Yeah, having that little cut. Yeah, it does help.
How do you feel about it? Sounded like you were saying knife and fork for the first time ever, though.
In my head, I didn't want to get them confused with a spoon. I mean, desserts, you need a spoon for most of them. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, burger-wise, there's no shame in seeing a burger or a hot dog or other finger foods and thinking, you know what, I need help here, and asking for help. It's like, you know, with a problem, like you've just done. You've reached out for help for me and Romesh. You know, me and Romesh, in a way, you know, I'm the knife and Romesh is the fork. We're just helping you with your way, man.
Sure. I actually grew up almost exclusively eating with my hands because, you know, Sri Lankan culture, everybody eats with their hands. You know, rice and curry, you eat with your hands.
Yeah,
so when I was a kid, it's sort of like, I can't show you because it's a podcast, but the technique of getting a little bit of food and, you know, use your thumb to kind of push it into your mush. I loved it. I used to love it. But the only downside is you'd finish eating your meal and then you'd have like a hand that was sort of covered in curry. And so you'd sort of sit watching TV with your hand kind of propped up like a spider because you didn't want to, on the plate, because you didn't want to like get curry everywhere until you could be asked to get up and go and wash your hand. So often I'd be like, it'd be an hour.
Really?
My hand just sort of like that, yeah. Just sort of sat up like
and
that.
And it would just sort of stick in like into
drying. Yeah. And then like, you know, later that night you take a piss, you haven't washed your hand properly.
Stingy Willy.
Yeah, old Stingy Willy, yeah. Old Stingy Willy. Oh, mate, speaking of Stingy Willy, I got fucking really bad Mickey drips the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
On
League of Their Own, right? Oh. Okay, they're calling me down for rehearsal. I had grey joggers on.
Yeah, I remember them.
What do you mean you remember them?
No, you wore them quite a lot, the Paul Smith ones.
Okay, well, like now you've made me look like a fucking tramp now.
No, I'm just saying, I know the word you mean. You've got quite a distinctive pair of grey Paul Smith joggers.
Okay, so it was, by coincidence, it was those joggers. Right, I took a piss. I sort of come downstairs. I look down and there's like a little kind of, like a dot.
Oh, no.
I had a T-shirt on and then I sat down at the desk and this sounds a bit mad, but I had to film something with my top off for like in rehearsal for them to put into the show. And then I sort of thought, I just had to basically kind of stall doing that until this piss dot had disappeared from my job. Is this a disgusting story?
No. But also, it's the worst one is when you pull your T-shirt down to cover it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a lot of that. It's a common thing, Mickey drips, right?
Mickey drips for men of our age is a very, very common thing. I don't know if everyone knows them as Mickey drips, but that was a Camille Kaduri thing that we put into King Gary. But Mickey drips, yeah. I think like most men, like I think I'm wearing grey shorts now, and I went for a wee in a restaurant we were just in, and I was terrified about if anything, you've got to be so fucking careful. Beige, anything, any light colours,
yeah. You know,
fucking get out a pair of pastel shorts, you're running a fucking gauntlet.
Oh yeah, God help you. Especially if you're on a night out having a few drinks.
Oh, I always respect someone when I see a man in a pair of tan chinos on a night out or a pair of grey trousers. Yeah. I remember having I turned 36 and I had a pair of like grey moleskin trousers.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the toilet, I came out and it looked like I'd eaten a kebab off my lap.
Oh no.
Yeah. Oh, no. Do you notice, I mean, this is a problem, and like, you know, some people might find this gross, but you feel like now it's like you finish a wee and it like feels like there's always like, it's like a Lord of the Rings movie. You think it's finished and there's always a little bit that Peter Jackson's just put on the end of it. So you're like, oh, everything's done, and then it just runs over. And
I know. It's like a prank. It's like your body's playing a prank on it. So you stand there, you're sort of milking the shit out of it, trying to make sure that, you know, you've got every little snippet of liquid out. And then literally as you zip up, it goes, oh, you know, hold on, we just found a bit more.
I've lost my mind with my penis on that fucking... I've gone, why would you do this to me? Like, when I've been out.
Okay, I don't, please.
I've really lost my mind with it.
Oh, God. Right, should we do one more?
Let's do one more, my chief.
Okay. Hello, Wolf and Al. Firstly, your podcast brings me joy and Billy Laughs on the regular. Okay, thank you very much. This is from Vienna, by the way, Tom. I know you like a foreign email.
Oh, wow, that's a nice one. Wow, Vienna's a very sweet, sweet place.
Okay, I have a pressing question for you off the back of a recent experience I had. I was at a party and I got into discussion with a friend about whether they sit or squat on public toilets. As a consistent sitter, I was surprised that they squat. I then went on to ask people, including some I just met, about whether they sit or squat. And there was an overwhelming unanimous vote for squatting across both guys and girls. Are you taking notes?
No.
What are you doing?
I've got like these holes that are in a shoebox that I've got a computer on, and I'm trying to get that to fit into the holes. I'm listening as well.
You are so fucking rude, you know that?
No, I know exactly what's going on.
Okay, what am I talking about?
You're talking about a girl from Vienna, right?
Yeah.
Who's talking about sitting or squatting, right? So she was at a party. She's a sitter on a toilet. Someone else said that they're a squatter. She then walked around to all of the people at the party asking them, oh, do you sit or do you squat? And there was a resounding lean towards people who squatted rather than sat.
Okay, you got lucky there. I'm still quite taken aback because I think life's too short to be squatting, especially when it's avoidable after a wipe down of the seat before sitting. Where do you stand on this? Or should I say, where do you sit or squat on this? Please shout out my new boyfriend, Benali. As of Monday, we can't get enough. Okay, I shouldn't have done that because as of Monday, I mean, that is very new, isn't it? And then now, you know, the newer it is, the more likely it is to have gone tits up.
I think Benali's a keeper, man. I think Benali's a keeper because I think.
Why do you say that?
I think because this lady's a queen, and Benali.
What are you basing that on?
Because she sits
instead of squatting.
Look, I can steam right into this without I haven't even got to come close to putting on the brakes. I'm a sitter. I always have been. I probably always will be.
Do you understand why people might squat at a public toilet?
Yeah, I kind of get it. If I'm honest, I just always think: are you going to get the best of what you're aiming to do through squatting? Yeah, I'm not too sure about that. Sometimes, if I'm honest,
God.
At home, I have a little stool that I put by the toilet. So, you know, I sit and then I can have my knees can come further up.
Okay, let me just talk to you about that because I was about to talk about this. Do you know that that is a much better way of doing it? Do you know that is how humans are supposed to poop?
It's a game changer, bro.
Is it genuinely? Like, okay, what happens? What's the difference doing it with a little stool?
Right. Your legs come up, so that forces your everything to sort of straighten up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to be too graphic here.
Okay.
Everything is cleaner, everything is easier, and it doesn't feel like you're putting so much bearing upon your sphincter.
Do you know what you've managed to do there? Is you've managed to be sort of disgusting and not made it any clearer about what the advantages are of using this stool. Is it easier to shit?
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're not putting as much pressure.
Okay. Right.
Literally, I would say everyone who's listening to this podcast right now, you haven't got to go and buy a special stool for it. Like, get a saucepan, turn it upside down.
No, please don't do that.
No,
please do not do that.
No, but like,
but footstool's not expensive, is it?
Footstool on Amazon, yeah, you'll get one probably for around a £5-6. Yeah.
If I walked into someone's bathroom, and there was an upturned saucepan in front of the toilet, I reckon I would leave immediately.
How the worst thing would be if you saw the saucepan upturned by the toilet. 15 minutes later, you go downstairs and see a big chili being cooked in it. And that is the circle of life. That is the circle of life right there. I sit with you firmly, and I wish your relationship all the best. I really do.
Good luck to Emma and Benali. I sit as well. I sit alongside you, not alongside you, but you know what I mean, is figuratively speaking, in solidarity with you.
Have you ever sat next to someone and had a poo? Like, so yeah, she could see them.
No, I'll tell you what I have done once, though. I was doing a gig and I turned up at the gig and I had a phase for a while of gigging where I really became desperate to go to the toilet.
It's one of my favourite ever stories. But I don't know if you told it on this podcast, but it's genuinely one of my
favourite. Maybe I have.
No, I don't think you have. I think you've told me in a pub before. I don't think you've ever... It's a brilliant story.
Anyway, I went to the pub where I was doing the gig, and I said to the guy, "Where's your toilet?" And he goes, "The men's toilets are out of order at the moment." He goes, "You could just pop into the women's. We're not busy." So I go into the women's toilet, and I sit down and start having a shit. And sort of in the process of finishing my shit, when three women walk into the toilet, right? They're having a chat. They all know each other. So I just become silent, and I think, I've just got to wait this out now. I'm just going to stay here until they've gone, and then I'm going to leave. One of them sits in the cubicle next to me and starts having a piss, right? And then one of her mates is sat the other side. And then I hear her, she finishes her piss, and she knocks on the cubicle, on my cubicle wall, and she goes, "Excuse me, babe, have you got any toilet tissue in there? Because there's none in here." And then I started, I sort of didn't know what to do, right? Because I can't say anything. I'm not saying, "Sorry, I'm a bloke, and I've just come in to take a shit, but here's some toilet tissue." I didn't want to even silently pass it, because I thought my hand would give it away. And I thought, I also have to say something as I pass the toilet. I don't, you know, it's just everything was a bit weird about it. So in the end, what I ended up doing was I just didn't say anything. I just stayed silent and sat without moving. And then she knocks on the wall again. She goes, "Excuse me, have you got any toilet tissue?" And I just stayed silent and didn't move again. And then she just went, "Bitch." And then, like, finished their piss. They started going, "Oh, God, what's their fucking problem?" And then they left. And then I sat there for another, I reckon, 35 minutes.
What? 35 Honestly, minutes?
Yeah, because I didn't, because I just thought they're going to want to see who this bitch is that didn't pass on the toilet to show. And then, so they're definitely watching the door. Did and then the blokes...
Did you have a beard at the time?
Yeah. What's that got to do with anything?
No, because you could have, like, made yourself look more feminine if you didn't have a beard.
Tom, it's about that time, my G. Slightly unfortunately, because as is your tendency, you tend to kind of do your closing thoughts about whatever the last thing is we were talking about. So let's see what you got in the locker.
Maybe I should actually talk about the thing we were just talking about. Because maybe that's the thing we should all be talking about right now, is the role of the underdog, the role of the underdog, the role of, yeah, the things that we need more in life, but we don't know until it's abundantly absent just how much we need them. And of course, it's easy to think of loved ones and fruit, food and fruit. And milk and bread and all of the amazing things that, yeah, you hold dear to your heart. But sometimes it's the things that you need most of all that go missing every now and again, and you long for them. And I'm talking about the humble shit ticket. Never more in the world will we ever more known or more absent than just 18 months ago, when we couldn't find shit tickets for love nor money. And we realised how valuable they were. And I'm not just talking about shit tickets. I'm talking about friendship. I'm talking about everything. Remember in life to look at the things that sometimes you overlook and realise that actually they're important after all. And always keep a lookout for a little boy jumping up and down over a bouncy castle on his own. He might not need a friend. What he might need is just to know he's not alone. There we go.
Wow.
There was quite a lot of huffing during that one.
From me?
There was a couple of huffs, like a couple of little snorty huffs.
There's a couple of bits where I thought you went into needless detail. Yeah. And I think you were doing that to wind me up.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. But sometimes, yeah. Maybe we're talking about, you know, life, death, God. You know, maybe coming back as a piece of toilet paper isn't the worst thing in the world.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Well, I suppose you'd have to come back as a tree first.
Yeah.
And then be used as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Circle of life. Really horrible version of the Lion King. So a couple of things before we go. So we've had a few emails in about my doorbell, but although people haven't known it's my doorbell. But my doorbell goes off quite a lot. So and people have complained about it because they say they keep thinking it's their doorbell.
Right.
When my doorbell goes off during the podcast. So, look, I can't offer any guarantees. I'll try and stay across it, all right? That's all I'm saying. Somebody else emailed in to say, what has this become a football podcast? Why do you talk about football so much? I'd like to say to that person, go fuck yourself. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening to The Wolf and Owl. Remember, there's no bonus episode. If you'd like to get in touch, please do email us on wolfowlpod@gmail.com. Tom, enjoy your holiday. I'm saying that for the benefit of the podcast listeners, because I have no doubts that I'll be speaking to you while you're away.
I love you, brother.
Take care, everybody. Love you. Bye-bye.
Peace.